May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. We heard this morning in the children's talk about how the people greeted the Lord as their king. Palm Sunday must come before Easter. And Easter is when we celebrate the glorification of the Lord, when we see the Lord as supremely human and as our Lord. But first, the people must receive him as a king. We heard in True Christian Religion, number 113, that every citizen or subject is united to his king by obeying his commands and precepts. This is the simple way of obeying the Lord as our king, to obey his commands, to love one another as he has loved us, to obey his precepts, the Ten Commandments, to shun evils as sins, and to practice charity. That's what it means to worship the Lord as our king. But we read further that one is subject to his king more so if one endures hardships for him, and still more if he suffers death for him, as men do in war. How do we suffer death in war for the Lord? It is not necessarily literally in war, but we all do go through war. There is a war within each of us. We read in Psalm number 43 at the end, verse 5, "Why art thou bowed down, O my soul, and why art thou in tumult within me?" The psalmist is addressing his soul in the third person. What does that mean? Within each of us, we have two wills. An old will, something natural, our old selves, and a new will, something from the Lord given to us. Our very life in our soul is the Lord's alone. But there is a part of us that rejects that. The beginning of the psalm begins, "Judge me, O God, and plead my plea with a nation that is not merciful." You can imagine yourself living in a nation that is not merciful. There is a nation of evil spirits who wishes no good upon you, who is looking for every opportunity to encourage your darker, natural, evil self, to stir up those base desires and lead you to evil. That's the nation you're born into. But the second half of verse 1 is, "From the man of deceit and perversity, deliver me." Who is that man? That man is you. You have a perverse and deceitful man within you. You have a darker self. This is a hard truth for many to accept, that we are really, truly inclined to evils of every kind. It is very easy to accept the idea that others are inclined to evils of every kind. If you're having trouble seeing the evil within yourself, the Lord has given us an interesting gift in being judgmental of others, seeing how often others lie, cheat, steal, and are cruel. But that is the same kind of person as we are. There is no real, natural difference between them and us. Truly, the only thing that keeps us from so many terrible evils is all the external constraints of society, of culture, worry about being punished or a loss of honor and reputation and gain. We have that evil within us. But thankfully, there is hope. In verse 2, we read, "For thou art the God of my strength." Knowing that the Lord, our King, is a God of strength, he has the power to help us save us from ourselves. If we are honest in examining ourselves, we may come to the difficult and despair-inducing conclusion that we truly are evil. That if given the opportunity to lie, we would. That if all external constraints were removed from us, we really would be wicked people. If we can come to that conclusion, we might despair. What hope is there for us? But remember, there is a new you that the Lord is building. The God of our strength has given us everything we need. In verse 3, we read, "O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me into the mountain of thy holiness and to thy habitations." The Lord's truth, his light in his word, can save us. The Lord has implanted in all of us remnant states, affections for good and truth from our earliest infancy, and continues to do so throughout our life, so that when we encounter truths from the word, like the truth, "Thou shalt not steal," or "Thou shalt not commit adultery," or "Thou shalt not murder," or "Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor," they ring true to us. Maybe there's a part of you that loves the idea that murder is a sin. So when you hear, "Thou shalt not murder," you hear the truth. That ability to hear the truth is a gift from the Lord. It is the Lord himself giving it to you. It is not from you. And that is your salvation. Listen to that truth. Obey it. And it will lead you to the mountain of the Lord's holiness and to his habitations, where you can dwell with the Lord. Living a life obeying the commandments is living with the Lord in peace. In verse 4 we read, "And I will come to the altar of God, to God, the gladness of my rejoicing, and I will confess thee with the harp, O God, my God." Seeing the truth, recognizing it, living by it, we can then thank the Lord, praise him for the opportunity to lead us to good, the opportunity to live in good, to live as an angel, even on earth, to the degree that we obey his commandments and love the neighbor, we are in the Lord's kingdom. But there is always going to be a struggle as we are on earth. Returning to the end, verse 5. "Why art thou bowed down, O my soul? And why art thou in tumult within me?" When you do commit to truth, when you hear the Lord's commandments and they ring true, and you commit to it, the Lord is warning us that the darker part of you will rebel. Choosing truth will not make your darker self happy. When you choose to obey the truth, there will be a part of you that rebels, that does not enjoy it. So when you feel miserable at obeying the Lord's commandments, take hope. That is the Lord's struggle. That's the beginning of accepting the Lord. See that anger at the Lord's truth and shun it. It's from hell. You will feel those feelings, but don't worry. Hope thou for God, for I shall still confess him, thy salvation of my face and my God. Now Psalm 43 has one other amazing thing to recognize about it. We've been discussing how Psalm 43 relates to our regeneration, our rebirth, our ability to be risen up by the Lord. A spiritual sense to it. But there is a higher, heavenly, celestial sense to Psalm 43. And that is about the Lord himself. Be invited to read the Psalms and think how the Lord hears those words about himself on earth. And when you hear stories of the Lord crying out to the Father, hear the words, "Why art thou bowed down, O my soul?" The Lord, like us, has a struggle. But his struggle is not between a darker self and a new self. His struggle is between his infinite love for us and the ultimate truth that we must be free. We read in True Christian Religion number 615 that without freedom of choice, no one can believe in the Lord, and that from freedom we must adapt ourselves to receive the means and benefits of salvation from him, and from him cooperate in the reception of them. The Lord knows that we can choose evil, and he knows that some of us will. Yet still the Lord loves us and gives us that ultimate freedom to choose to reject him. But we don't have to. We don't have to reject the Lord. We can accept him as our king. We can live according to his commandments. And when the great temptation comes for us to reject the new will the Lord has given us, we can turn again to the Lord and say to the Lord, "Take my heart of stone and give me a heart of flesh." Amen.